I walk over to the Lamia. "It's not human," I explain quietly. "It never was human. It's one of the things they specialize in. This building is defended by guards and wards, and this is just part of the security system's front end."
"But she spoke."
"Yes, but she's not a human being." I point to the thick ribbon cable that connected the computer to the pentacle. "See, that's a control interface. The computer's there to stabilize and contain a DHO-NHA circuit that binds the D-space entity here. The entity itself, it's a Lamia, is locked into the box which contains other components, and it's compelled to obey certain orders. Nothing good for unscheduled visitors." I put my hands on the Lamia's head and work my fingers into the thick blonde hair, then tug. There's a noise of ripping Velcro, then the wig comes off to reveal the scaly scalp beneath. "See? It's not human. It's a Lamia, a type of demon bound to act as a frontline challenge response system for a high-security installation with covert..." I manage to get out of the line of fire as Josephine brings up her lunch all over the incredibly expensive bleached pine workstation. I can't say I blame her. I feel a little shocky myself. It's been a really bad morning. Then I realize that Andy is trying to get my attention.
"Bob, when you're through with grossing out the inspector, I've got a little job for you."
He pitches his voice loudly.
"Yeah?"
I ask, straightening up.
"I want you to open that door, walk along the corridor to the second room on the right, not pausing to examine any of the corpses along the way, and open it. Inside you'll find the main breaker board. I want you to switch the power off."
"Didn't I just see you splashing paint all over the CCTV cameras in the ceiling? And what's this about corpses? Why don't we send Dr. Voss?" "Oh." Voss's eyes are shut, and the stink of roast meat is getting stronger. He's gone extremely red in the face, almost puffy, and he's shaking slightly, as if some external force is making all his muscles twitch simultaneously. It's my turn to struggle to hang on to breakfast. "I didn't know anyone could make themselves do that," I hear myself say distantly.
"Neither did I,"
says Andy, and that's the most frightening thing I've heard today so far.
"There must be a conflicted gash somewhere in his skull. I don't think I could stop it even if..."
Shit. I stand up. My hand goes to my neck automatically, but the pouch is empty.
"No hog,"
I swallow.
"Power? What happens if I don't?"
"Voss's pal Mark McLuhan installed a dead man's handle. You'd know all about that. We've got until Voss goes into brainstem death, and then every fucking camera in Milton Keynes goes live with scorpion stare."
"Oh, you mean we die?"
I head for the door Voss came through. "I'm looking for the service corps, right?"
"Wait!"
It's Josephine, looking pale.
"Can't you go outside and cut the power there? Or phone for help?"
"Nope."
I rip the first strip of ceiling tape away from the doorframe. "We're behind tempest shielding here, and the power is routed through concrete ducts underground. This is a Q division office, after all. If we could call in an airstrike and drop a couple of blue 114Bs on the local power substations, that might work." I tug at the second tape. "But these systems were designed to be survivable." Third tape.
"Here,"
calls Andy, and he chucks something cylindrical at me. I catch it one-handed, yank the last length of tape with the other hand, and do a double take. Then I shake the cylinder, listen for the rattle of the stirrer, and pop the lid off.
"Take cover,"
I call. Then I open the door, spritz the ceiling above me with green spray paint, and go to work.